CFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22AD P. Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The country's latest school shooting happened today in Madison, Wisconsin.
I think we can all agree that enough is enough.
Police Chief Sean Barnes.
Three people are dead, including the suspect shooter. We know that the suspect shooter was a teenage student who attended the school.
A law enforcement official tells CBS News the suspect used a 9mm pistol. Several people are hospitalized.
Six other people were injured. Two students are now in critical condition in the hospital. And these injuries are considered life-threatening injuries.
Reporter Adam Reif on the investigation.
Who may have helped this person, what type of writings they had online. They're also going to look at some of the security video as well, whether it's outside or inside, and see how this person was able to get in.
Nearly 400 students attend the private school. CBS News Special Report. I'm Cammie McCormick.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has received over $10 million in federal grant money to improve the recruitment and retention of special education teachers. According to a press release, the funding will be spread out over 5 years to address persistent special education staffing shortages. The DPI found nearly half of special education teachers in Wisconsin have either left the state or the profession entirely after 6 years. The funding will be used for specialized training and the creation of residency programs. Wisconsin will receive some federal funding to help protect the state's only endangered mammal. The U.S. Department of the Interior has awarded a grant of over $800,000 to the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission to support recovery efforts for American martens. Wildlife officials say the animals require specific environmental conditions to survive in the wild, and any changes to that environment could cause significant issues. They also say the animals play a crucial role in rodent management and seed dispersal. The Rice Lake City Council has placed a time frame on a project to turn a former nursing home in the downtown area into affordable housing. The council has approved an amendment to the development agreement requiring Movin' Out, the Madison company overseeing the project, to present quarterly progress reports and assume ownership and demolition of the site after 5 years from the start date of construction. Movin' Out officials say the delays are related to legal hurdles and due diligence in pursuing tax credits for low-income housing. State Senator Jesse James of Altoona says he's filed a police report against his daughter for improperly removing $32,000 from his campaign account. According to a statement on Friday, Senator James's daughter was serving as his campaign treasurer and had improperly withdrawn the funding over the course of 2024. He says all the improperly withdrawn funds have been returned, and he filed a report with the Altoona Police Department claiming nobody is above the law. The Altoona Police Department is conducting an investigation. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers win in Seattle.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Seahawks 30-13. It's the first time they've won in Seattle since 2008. Head coach Matt LaFleur praised the defense after the win.
Our team effort, especially our defense, I thought they played a really good game. You know, for four quarters, got constant pressure on the quarterback, got a couple takeaways.
Rookie linebacker Edgerrin Cooper had five tackles, a quarterback sack, and his first NFL career interception after missing the last three games with a hamstring injury.
No, I was very hungry to get back out there and do what I did, and thank for my teammates and doing their job.
Women's college volleyball, the Wisconsin Badgers lost to Nebraska yesterday in three straight sets. The Badgers have reached the regionals 12 years in a row.
Just proud of them, the people that they've become and the players they've become and how they've grown as a team. And I think they've represented their university and their community and the state of Wisconsin.
That's Badgers head coach Kelly Sheffield with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight to a low in the mid-20s. A cloudy sky for tomorrow with snow showers in the late afternoon and evening. Accumulations likely by early Wednesday. Highs in the upper 20s. Mostly cloudy and low 20s Wednesday. More snow showers Wednesday night and Thursday.
It's 39 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser fills us in on last weekend's convention of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. And welcome back, Chi-Chi's.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is 93.5 The Tap. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
I'm not Dom Salvia. I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in another day here on the Dom Salvia Show. I was here on Friday, had a couple of hours of fun. Apparently, nobody in management listened over the weekend to air check it because they let me back into it on Monday. And I'm back, Jess P.S. I'm back.
Well, I'm glad to have you here.
Oh my
Since
goodness,
Dom decided to take some vacation, which I guess he's entitled to.
Yeah, vacation from a job that requires zero sweating. unless the air conditioner's out, and then we have problems. I'm Jimmy Cuska. We have a very full show today. A lot of things to talk about. And obviously, the news of the day, of course, is what's happening in Madison. And we're going to talk about that in this segment. With the tragic school shooting at Abundant Life Christian School. We're going to talk about that in this segment as they have another news conference lined up here for about an hour and 20 minutes from now. So we'll have even more updates on that situation happening in Madison. So those of you statewide, if you hadn't heard, there was a school shooting in Madison today with three people killed as of the last news update, press update by the police. And another six injured. We have ongoing news coverage with our own news reporters all across the state, wherever you are, in whatever market you're listening, you're hearing it from your local reporters as we cover that. And we'll do that here in just a second. We do have other guests on the show today. Coming up in about a half an hour, my company-mandated sports segment. We're going to cover college football bowl games, but with a Wisconsin twist. I'll be joined by Mike Shaw, who is the director of two college football bowl games that are here in Wisconsin. Maybe you haven't heard of them, but we're going to talk about that coming up in about a half an hour. In the next hour, going to take a look at the gas prices going into the holidays, of course, because we all want to know what's it going to cost to get to our family members' houses. No matter what we're celebrating, people are traveling because this is usually the time of year when companies give people days off. Regardless of what you're observing, you have time to travel and visit people. And the new year, of course, coming up, we're going to talk to Patrick DeHaan, who is better known as the Gas Buddy guy. He's the guy who is the one who writes all the analysis on the Gas Buddy app. And he'll be joining us coming up in an hour from now. And then an hour and a half from now, we're going to talk about getting on the ballot as a school board member. So we'll have that coming up at about 5:30. And then, of course, we are into the night with Nightlight and Pete Schwabba at 6 o'clock tonight. So it's a full show. We've laid it out for you. There's a lot to talk about today. Here on the Dom Salvia Show. But of course, I know this has been something that Civic Media has covered pretty much all day already, and there's a lot of details out there. We're going to hopefully learn a little bit more about everything in the next news conference, which is coming up here within the next couple of hours. But in a few moments, we'll be joined by one of our very own Civic Media members who's been out at the scene asking questions and covering the story today for us in Madison. We'll be joined here in just a couple of minutes when we have her ready to go. So we'll do that here in just a second. But just to reset, if you've been following the news today, there's been one overriding news story for the entire day, and that has been what happened in Madison with the school shooting at Abundant Life Christian School. And joining me is the program director in Madison at WMDX, Catherine Lake, who was at the presser here about an hour and a half ago. Catherine, thank you for taking time between press conferences to talk about a very difficult subject today. Well, we'll get that fixed in just a second. We have
It's my fault. My fault. I muted myself live on the air. Keep myself muted. Yeah, it's a sad day. And I was saying to Maggie, I moved to Madison the very first time in 1991 for a job and got into radio soon thereafter. And I left town 10 years later to go to Chicago to go into radio and have a family, start a family. And by the time my daughter was heading into junior high, I was planning how to get her out of Chicago before high school. And thankfully, civic media came up and came as an idea. And I applied for a job and brought her here. Safe place, Madison, instead of Chicago. And I heard the first shooting in Wisconsin that I heard about was when I came back, was in May of this year, was it? In Mount Horeb? And that was much more minor. This is defined as a mass shooting because it's more than one person. And I couldn't believe when our colleague Denise came into my office. She's in charge of traffic at our WMDX studios. And she said, I hate to say this to you, but I've just heard there's a shooting in Madison School. And my heart stopped. I think I felt it stop because my kid's at Madison East. And what do I get? 20 minutes later, a notification from my school, no shooting, but an incident involving pepper spray and police. And the school was in lockdown for a brief time. And I'm just, my head is just spinning on its axis. I had to get out the door right away to get to that press conference to try and learn what is going on. Why is it like an infection? Is it like COVID? Gun violence is like COVID? And now it's in Madison? I don't understand. Jimmy, help me.
You know, I can only speak to this from the perspective of, I'm a school board member in a small rural public school in Western Wisconsin. And a lot of, when we surveyed the community about the referendum, we asked, you know, the questions like, what are the top of mind concerns? And the number one is safety, right? That's the number one thing. And so as a district in the 3 years I've been on the board, just be pre-referendum, because we had a referendum pass, you know, the first thing we did was update all of the communication devices. So there's four buildings and they were all in their own communication system. So if there was something happening at one, the other ones wouldn't necessarily know. For the elementary, it's split into two buildings. So kids have to cross the street to go to the playground. So they're all out and about and there's no way to communicate to the playground, at least before these recent updates. So then we get into the referendum and they're like, well, what are things we can do for safety? And very first thing that we had with we have two police officers on our school board. So they heavily advocated for changing our entrances to more secure vestibules. So right now you get buzzed in, you can walk anywhere in the school. Now with the referendum, they're going to change the entrances. So you get buzzed into a smaller area. You have to go through the office to get anywhere else in the school. This year they added in a visitor ID system that actually photographs you, takes your driver's license as you come in, and then you get a printable badge that you wear. And if you're not wearing one and you're not having a school staff, there's an SRO in the school that'll escort you out. So security measures, just even at a small rural public school that has budgeted $10,000 for an SRO, which is, you know, doesn't sound like a lot because it's not a lot, but that's the resources that, you know, our district has available. Schools are going into a referendum dealing with a lot of things like this, and safety is certainly top of mind. But I'm just speaking from my perspective as with two kids in an elementary school in a district that a lot of my time has been just thinking, getting these stories and having to do them. And in the moment, kind of suspending the dad in me, suspending that so I can do my work. But man, in those moments where you're waiting, you're in that hurry up and wait mode, you know, you can't help but think, what if it happened here? And that's absolutely terrifying.
And that is a big takeaway, hurry up and wait, for me. the reunification. You know, of course, they have polite words for all the tragedies that happen in life. You know, when an adoption doesn't go through, they call it an interruption or a disruption. It's not, oh, she changed her mind and you're out and your life ends. No, it's a disruption. And now we have reunification to get all the kids together. And it is frustratingly long that they have to hang on to the kids before they can bring them to a place, because they need to make sure that they can count them. And they have to see, you're the one that's alive. Okay, that's your name. And you go in this category. And my God, the ones that aren't are in this category. And they need to call those parents. So the reunification process is still ongoing. It's 4:15 in the afternoon. I went to my kid's school and I said, I'm coming to get you today. Don't take the bus. I'm coming to get you, because I wanted to see her eyes and squeeze her as hard as I could. But the reunification process is long. I heard Maggie talking about the fact that not only was the sheriff's office here, the police, Madison police, Capitol Police showed up, FBI, ATF, 5 engines, 4 trucks, 15 ambulances. All of the Dane County showed up today for this. Thank goodness. And it makes my heart, even right now, it makes it just feel a little less strong beating. I was driving up to see what was going on, to get an interview, whatever I could find out. And you drive up and you see all the roads blocked and police cars in the street. It just makes your heart stop. I can't believe I'm talking about this here.
Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, what we always say, like, it can happen here, and then it does. And how do you react? You think about it. There's no way you could prepare for it, even if you thought about it, you know?
I don't understand why the police chief is not interested in metal detectors. That should be a topic, I think, for them to have discussions about.
Well, you asked the question. You asked.
I did, and he put it right back at me. Do you want your kid going to a school? Well, maybe. After this, maybe I do.
Catherine Lake is our program director at WMDX in Madison. Aiden, you were at the last presser. I saw you in the video, so I had to make sure we got that shared internally here, just saying, like, hey, look, it's Catherine who's out covering the story. And I felt, you know, I'm got to exhale a little bit to talk about
you
it.
Do.
But I thought the end of the presser, I think the point was made by Madison's mayor about seeking and finding resources for mental health and taking care of one another.
That was a
really important message.
Really? 988. If you have feelings you can't figure out, 988. You can call 911 if you're having an emergency that needs real immediate help, and 988 to talk to somebody.
I think, in an era where we talk about what resources do we have as schools or as boards or as educators, like, those are the things, like, what resources do you have? And that's a big one for today, for family members and people,
and
anybody in the community. So,
and yeah, you, thank you for doing this.
Yeah. Catherine, I know that we've got more to cover on the story. It looks like we're going to have another media update coming up here within the next hour and a half. So thank you for sharing what you've seen and your thoughts on this. Thank you.
You bet. Anytime.
All right. That is Catherine Lake. She is our program director at WMDX in Madison. That is the station closest to everything that happened today, of course, right in Madison. We have a segment coming up. We're going to talk a little more about this and just some of the things that we've had and some of the things that we've learned on this today. We're going to do that coming up here in just a minute. We'll recap you on where we're at and what has been out there. A lot of the reporting is already available. You can find a very long article written by our news team right now at civicmedia.us or on your local Civic Media station. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show here on Civic Media. Back after this.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Following up our report on states which have passed a Voting Rights Act comes an authorization to collect signatures for the Ohio Voters Bill of Rights, protecting voters from suppression tactics and implementing reforms like automatic voter registration. The state of Ohio tried to reject it.
Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost twice objected to the title of the measure, tactically delaying the measure beginning in early 2024 so it couldn't make the November ballot. October 30th, the Ohio Supreme Court ruled that the AG did not have the authority to reject it on the basis of its title. Then in mid-November, the Ohio Ballot Board, headed by Secretary of State Frank LaRose, approved the measure to collect signatures. If passed, the constitutional measure, similar to Michigan's 2022 initiative, would enshrine Ohio voters' right to vote early in person, by mail, or on Election Day, and to do so without intimidation or harassment. It allows voter registration online, at the DMV, and on Election Day. It gives municipalities flexibility to expand polling locations and use drop boxes, and directs that state government and the courts should defer to supporting voters' rights. Given the state's derailment of November's citizen-led redistricting commission, expect more state-sponsored shenanigans before voters weigh in. We have the full text of the Ohio Voters Bill of Rights at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Stop the Call Me a Show. It is Civic Media. Thank you for joining us wherever you are listening to in the great state of Wisconsin. Appreciate you all joining us today. The news today, difficult if you're somebody who's school involved, and really just difficult in general. We've been talking in this first segment about the school shooting that happened in Madison earlier today, and we'll have updates on that coming up throughout the afternoon. Well, I guess it's evening now since the sun is set. We had the sun poke out over here in western Wisconsin for like 3 seconds, and now it's dark again.
Oh, so that's nice. We didn't get it at all here in southeastern Wisconsin.
Yeah, I got my 3 seconds of vitamin D here, so you know.
that'll hold you for refreshed. A week, huh?
Yeah. We have a whole segment here where I want to talk about it. Before we get to it, I know right now that we have a civic media contest we do across the state, and I want to make sure we get the word out to you. The first segment, we dove right into what we were doing, just trying to respect the topic at hand a bit. But I'll give you the word here for our grown-up gift list Christmas at civicmedia.us. And this hour, the keyword that we have, the prize this hour is for $100 in cash. The word this hour is ELF, E-L-F, ELF. Like the movie Will Ferrell, Elf. So that is your keyword this hour. You have until 5 o'clock to get that in on the Civic Media app. You can pick your favorite station and enter in the keyword this hour. Again, ELF, Elf is the keyword this hour. I get it right that time, Jess?
You got it perfect.
On Friday, I really struggled with that. I was like, wow, we got contesting.
I think you were being too hard on yourself.
And I'm so confused. I'm like, I don't even know how I'm supposed to say it. But no, it's
so
really
many
cool.
Words.
Oh, by the
that
way,
have I'll... to go in a certain order.
Yes. One thing too is if you get in on this and you win, you're also entered in that grand prize, which lets you pick from the grown-up gift list Christmas at civicmedia.us. It includes snowblower, humidifier, robot vacuum. That sounds pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Luggage set mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. espresso machine. So.
However, even if you don't win, you are entered into that. Just by entering in once, you are automatically entered in for the grand prizes.
So it's definitely worth it to get that word in. ELF, E-L-F. Get that in on the app. Get it in on the Civic Media app, which you can download for free at civicmedia.us/app. All right. Well, let's start. We're going to go back to the topic. We have a lot mm-hmm. coming up on the show that we're going to talk about, and I promise we will have lighter topics. I just want to put a wrap on the news at hand, which is that there was a school shooting today in Madison. We actually just got a statement from the President of the United States, Joe Biden, who did release a statement on the shooting, you know, extending condolences. Obviously, that's pretty typical of it. But he did highlight some of the other school shootings that have happened nationally and called it unacceptable. And, you know, that's, you know, a statement on gun violence prevention, things like that. It's a full statement. It'll be up on our news sites as well. I'm not going to read it because it's pretty long. It's several paragraphs, but it is just a statement on that. So we've had everybody from the President of the United States to I think just about every politician in Wisconsin has weighed in as well. The governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, has also issued a proclamation for flags at half staff through Sunday in recognition of the victims of the school shooting today. Again, three people are dead, according to the Madison Police Department, and six are injured, two in critical condition at Madison area hospitals. Of the three, one of them is, and I think you're supposed to say alleged shooter in this case, because, you know, they haven't said otherwise, but the shooter in this incident is one of the three that is dead. So that is what happened today at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison. It's a school that has a high school enrollment, and the WIAA figure for this isn't necessarily the number of students. It's pretty close, but it's 141 in the high school is what they list for athletic competition. So it's a pretty small school over in Madison, and that's where everything happened today. Which is still ongoing, because I think in a half hour from now, they're going to have another news conference to talk about it, update on any information. Although if you've been following the story today, the first two news conferences have not provided a lot of additional detail, and it's been only a few hours since the last update. So Jess, I'm not sure what they'd have to update in 3 hours, because they said they were very firm in the last one that they weren't going to identify anybody, and that they couldn't provide any additional information at that point. So I don't know what's changed in 3 hours, but they're having another media availability here in an hour. So I'm curious what that might be. Breaking news events tend to have their own. It's not really a point A to point B timeline.
No, it's not like quite linear.
No, there's a lot of twists and turns. And I know there's been a lot of speculation comments on our social media pages. I'm seeing the comments too. I'm seeing myself tagged in some of them talking about this, and you know, and I can't come on the air and tell you like, hey, here's the way to fix it, because that's not, you know, I mean, there's a way to fix it. I think we do it right, because I don't think anybody wants this. It's a pretty terrible thing to have, and I can tell you again, as we had Catherine Lake, our PD at WMDX in Madison earlier. You know, when you've got kids in school, this is, you know, these are stressful days when this happens in Wisconsin. When it happened in Mount Horeb is less than an hour away from me. You know, I'm over in Western Wisconsin. Madison's an hour and a half. I lived in Madison. You know, I live downtown. I've broadcast games over at these schools, you know, so it's, you know, when these things happen like that, it obviously makes you think about what's happening, you know, where you live and what you're doing. And, you know, I can't say that I've really done anything other than as a school board member, I've just advocated for better security. And what does that mean in a school? Well, communications and making sure the doors have locks on them and making sure people are shutting them and keeping them locked. You know, there's not one overwhelming solution. And I think that things will probably politicize themselves going through it, you know, especially in response to politicians. That's what it's going to happen now. That's kind of the phase we're in now, where people are blaming policy. And, you know, I guess. I'm still kind of in that mode of like, you know, are people safe? Okay, people are now safe. But, you know, there's, you know, this is all happened in the last, hard to believe, it's only all happened in the last 5.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's been like 3 days we've been covering this today. You know?
That's getting punched in the face by the news cycle.
It is. Oh, man. We'll have ongoing news coverage today. You can follow civicmedia.us on whatever platform. You can go to our website. We've got an updated article there with our staff. Your local reporter will have the story covered in the local newscast. It's in the national news as well. A lot of ongoing coverage. I am going to take this show, and we're going to talk about other things. I'm going to pull you in some other directions today on the Dom Salvia Show, as we did have a full list of guests booked for today. Coming up a half hour from now, we're going to talk to Gas Buddy Guy about holiday gas prices and the Jefferson County oil spill, and what that might do. But coming up next, it's my civic media mandated sports segment. Mike Shaw, the director of the Isthmus Bowl and Lakefront Bowl, joins me next here on the Dom Salvia Show on Civic Media.
You're You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Patrol has officially started their Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign for the holiday season. According to law enforcement officials, there were hundreds of impaired driving-related crashes during the holiday season last year, including a dozen that were fatal. The campaign seeks to increase enforcement and remind residents to plan ahead if they intend to consume alcohol or other impairing substances during their holiday gatherings. The enforcement campaign will run through the end of the year. Wisconsin pediatric health officials say type 2 diabetes has risen dramatically in kids and teens over the last couple decades. According to UW Health Kids officials, the main cause of the rise has been genetics, making it difficult for kids and teens to cut down on their weight regardless of how healthy they eat or how much exercise they get. Scientific studies have linked cases of parents with diabetes or general obesity during pregnancy to a higher risk of type 2 diabetes in their kids. Health officials say the right medication can make the biggest difference. The Eau Claire Police Department has announced that a suspect related to a stabbing at the Dew Dodge Inn over the weekend has been taken into custody. According to law enforcement authorities, the incident occurred in the bar on Saturday at around 6 p.m. When officers arrived at the scene, they attempted life-saving measures on the victim and transported them to a local hospital, where they later died. Authorities say the suspect was quickly identified and taken into custody, and there are no other suspects being sought at this time. Barron County authorities are investigating after two people were found dead in a home north of Chetek on Sunday. According to the Barron County Sheriff's Office, their deputies and Rice Lake officers responded to the home just before 1 p.m. on Sunday after receiving reports of a woman laying in a pool of blood outside. When they arrived at the home, they also found a man dead inside the home. Officials have not released the identities of the individuals, but did note a prior response to the home for a domestic disturbance earlier this year. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Zombie fans will be excited to learn that the third installment of Danny Boyle's 28 Days Later franchise is just around the corner. The film is called 28 Years Later and stars Aaron Taylor Johnson and Ralph Fiennes. Boyle returns to the director's chair for this film after executive producing the second installment of the franchise 28 weeks later. Ben Stiller can be downright rude, at least when he's playing Hal, the role he is playing again in Happy Gilmore 2 with Adam Sandler. In an interview with Yahoo News, Stiller said about his character, "He's just so mean and he just hates Happy so much. You don't have to worry about having any redeeming qualities or being likable," which is great. For whatever reason, the plot for Happy 2 is being kept completely under wraps. Shooting for the film has been completed and a tentative release date is set for July 2025 on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight to a low in the mid-20s. A cloudy sky for tomorrow with snow showers in the late afternoon and evening. Accumulations likely by early Wednesday. Highs in the upper 20s. Mostly cloudy and low 20s Wednesday. More snow showers Wednesday night and Thursday. It's 39 right now.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the grown-up gift list text to win contest. Shane Matinair is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Is marijuana legalization a mistake? Elton John thinks so. We'll discuss that and a whole lot more on the next Earl Ingram Show.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
the Dom Salvia Show here on Civic Media. I'm Jimmy Cuska. Thank you for joining us here on this Monday ahead of the holidays next week. We are here on this show until 6 o'clock, and then Pete Schwaba takes over with Nightlight. He's got a couple of Eastern Wisconsin entertainment guests coming up tonight. He'll be very thoroughly entertained on that program. Half hour from now, we're going to talk gas prices and the holidays. Also going to talk about the Jefferson County oil spill and Enbridge and Line 5 and Line 6. There's a lot to talk about in that. It's a pretty fun segment of topics anyway. Maybe not a lot of fun topics, but the guest is pretty awesome. Patrick DeHaan of Gas Buddy, the Gas Buddy guy, is joining us here in a half hour. And then an hour from now, we're going to talk about what you can do if you want to run for a local elected office. Going to do it from the context of school boards, but you can also apply that to any position that is up on the ballot in the spring. So that's coming your way about an hour from right now. If you're listening in the first half of the show, we gave out the keyword today. This gets you in the running for $100 in cash. ELF, E-L-F, is the keyword that you can get in on the Civic Media app. Pick your favorite station. Get that keyword entered in. You'll be in the running for our grown-up giftless Christmas at Civic Media. So there we go. ELF, ELF is the word today. Segwaying a bit from the heavier topics of the day, and we'll have ongoing coverage, of course, of what happened in Madison this morning. That'll be throughout the day. So, you know, throughout the evening, we'll have live updates, and we'll have more on that coming up. Going to segue a bit because Civic Media, as a sports director here, I am given free rein whenever I'm on the air to just completely derail the normal function of a show and talk sports part of it. See, Jess knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. This is what I do. I get to talk sports on Friday.
It's part of the deal.
We had a good topic on Friday with the high school football playoff qualification. And today, because it is college football bowl season, I keep telling people that, you know, college football bowl season is pretty epic because now Wisconsin has not won but two college football bowl games. Mm. One of them is in Sun Prairie, and one of them is in the greater Milwaukee area. And joining me to talk about it is Mike Shaw, who is the director of the Division III Midwest Bowl Series. Mike, thank you for joining me. It is great to have you on here.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I've known you for, you know, 4 years now. You've become the voice of the Isthmus Bowl live stream, and I really appreciate the work that you do and everything you've done to really kind of get the bowl games out there. And as you can see, the bowl games have grown. There's more D3 bowl games now, which is really exciting. So I appreciate the work that you do, and thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you reading the disclaimer that I am the broadcaster for the bowl game. So I had to get that. That was on my sheet. I got to make sure I mentioned that. And I was also going to mention, you know, outside of your announcer being, you know, a complete goon, you know, the bowl game itself, from my experience, has been an incredibly well-run event. And you've had now six different schools take part in the Isthmus Bowl, as well as several schools over in the Lakefront Bowl, which is the other part of the Midwest Bowl Series. I want to start just by asking, what inspired you to come up with the idea for college football bowl games for Division III schools and have them here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I'm a huge advocate for Division III athletics. As I said, I played Division III basketball at UW-Platteville from 2006 to 2010. And I just have always loved Division III football and Division III sports. Huge Division III fan. And it happened during quarantine boredom. I was just, you know, it was when March 13th, 2020 is kind of like that COVID day that we all remember where we were told, you know, you can't go anywhere. And I think it was like mid-April of 2020 is when I, so all of a sudden I just got to work and I started coming up with a bowl game. And, you know, I put together a 20-page bowl game proposal. I had it approved by the NCAA in both conferences. And then I wrote a letter to Craig Culver, and, you know, the Isthmus Bowl was kind of born from that. And I can't believe that next year will be our fifth year of the bowl game already. And it's been a tremendous experience. I'm still wildly out of my comfort zone. I'm not an event manager by trade. I still have no idea what I'm doing. I walk around with a walkie-talkie and look like I know what I'm doing, but I'm really glad that you said that it seems to be a very organized event. But that's kind of how it all started. And, you know, I love it. It's just a great weekend for me and my friends to get together. And it's just awesome to see kids compete. You can tell they're really appreciative of the opportunity.
well, only the live stream people, the social media stream people can see it. But, you know, I am rocking the Platteville polo today. So
stylish.
There we go. So we got the Platteville connection going. Nice. I'm also, among all the other things I do, I'm also UW Platteville's broadcaster. So
yes.
whatever I have a chance, I make sure to promote that. But I say well run, and like this isn't just from my observation. Whenever I've interviewed coaches or talked to people that are part of the event or talked to fans, you know, they're really surprised when they come into it, because a lot of, you know, all-star kind of games or postseason kind of games or exhibition kind of games, they can feel really thrown together. And you know, you walk in and there's no program or there's no concessions, or you know, the seating is not, you know, whatever. But you go to the Isthmus Bowl and there's a VIP area, and there's, you know, there's merchandise, and there's on the field, you know, there's the trophy, and everything is just, it's put together, it's organized, people know where to go. And I think probably the part of this that I think that people, a really underrated aspect of this, is the night before, when the teams get together and they share a meal together before they compete on the field. That is a really inspired decision.
Yeah, the banquet's been a really good touch. In fact, the first year of the bowl game in Verona, we didn't do a banquet. And I have to form a bowl game advisory committee. So I have four athletic directors and four head coaches from both of the conferences that give me feedback and you know, ways to improve the event. And one of the biggest, tidbits was, you know, adding a banquet the night before the game. And we've done that the last three seasons. And it's just great thing for sportsmanship. You know, everybody loves a free meal. I do myself. I love, you know, a free meal from time to time.
I've had, and then it's just cool myself in the past. Some,
yeah, yeah.
I definitely enjoyed the food.
That's been a great touch to the bowl game, and making it feel more like an event than a game. You know, I want to provide an experience that student athletes and coaches are going to remember. And I've gotten nothing but great feedback, which I never expected, especially I have no event management background, like zero. So, you know, when I get coaches, I ask them, hey, can I have some, you know, any feedback, possibly negative or constructive? And I don't get any. So hopefully one of these years I screw something up and I get some feedback.
Oh, yeah, that won't happen. The only questionable decision so far has been your video broadcaster. Talking to Mike Shaw, who's the director of the Division III Midwest Bowl Series, and I'm allowed to say that because that's me. You know, I want to start. Let's go back a little bit. College football bowl games that happen after the season in Division III, that happens to be the week before Thanksgiving. So the Lakefront Bowl and the Isthmus Bowl both happen the week before Thanksgiving. And one of the things, too, that is great about these tie-ins, not only does it involve Wisconsin, Illinois, I think there's a Missouri school in there. There's a lot of Midwestern representation in it, not just in the schools that participate. But then you look at the presenting or title sponsors for each of the bowl games. You mentioned Craig Culver. So the Isthmus Bowl in Sun Prairie is the Culver's Isthmus Bowl, and the Lakefront Bowl is sponsored by Cousins Subs. I will just say this anecdotally, getting a chance to interview Craig Culver every year and ask like Plankton for the Krabby Patty secret formula for Butterburgers, like that has been, I can't even lie, it's been a highlight of my career every year, and he hasn't given it to me yet, but it's only been 4 years. I got time to work on them. For you, yeah. Mike, as the director of all this, what got, you know, how did these partnerships come about? Because these are two incredibly recognizable brands here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, the Culver's was a really interesting one, actually. I had written, just because I'm from Madison, that's where the name Isthmus Bowl comes from, because downtown Madison is on an isthmus. And, you know, I got a lot of flack for playing the first game in Verona and the first, you know, the last 3 years in Sun Prairie, because those aren't on the Isthmus. But, you know, I'm from Madison, so I figured if it's around Madison, we're going to still call it the Isthmus Bowl. But I wrote to about maybe like 35 or 40 companies in the Madison area, and I was just getting turned down left and right. I had a lot of interest, but nobody that said yes. So I wrote a letter. I reached out to my dad. I said, because we're pretty well connected in the Madison area, and he said, why don't you write to Culver's? And I, you know, I told him he was crazy. There's no way Culver's is going to respond to my email. So then what happened was I wrote Craig Culver a letter. I sent him a note in the mail. I sent him a, you know, detailed proposal, and 48 hours he wrote me an email back, and it was just crazy. It almost looked fake. It looked like a like a spam email because it was really short and all it said was his name, Craig Culver. And then it really was from him. And then he put me in touch with their marketing department, and that's when it all started. So that game was branded around Culver's, and I don't think you can find a more recognizable Wisconsin brand, which is one of the reasons why the bowl game, I think, continues to do well. And then Cousin Stubbs, that was just another food chain in Wisconsin that I could think of that I grew up around. There was a Cousin Stubbs in Fitchburg where I grew up, and you know, as soon as I came knocking, they were interested in becoming the sponsor for the Lakefront Bowl as well. So that's the two really solid food companies that I've you know, grew up around, especially Culver's.
Well, we have the banquet for the teams. We've talked about food sponsors for the bowl. It's got to be dinner time because that's all we're talking about is food, Mike.
Yeah.
I think of just the, you know, the fact that you have, you know, those kind of brands, and not just them. I mean, there's a great number, and if you go to the sponsorship page for either bowl game, you're going to recognize a lot of the companies there. But, you know, you just think mm-hmm. of the credibility that having that attached to the college football game gives it, because it's not just for the fans, but even the teams who, when they get that Isthmus Bowl bid, what's the first thing every coach says in the interview? Man, I can't wait to have some cheese curds, you know, like, or, you know, grab a butter burger. That's what they talk about. And I think that certainly has lent itself well to marketing the game a bit. And that's what we're doing, trying to do here, is just kind of give people, you know, the awareness that, hey, you know, we have college football here in Wisconsin, bowl games here in bowl game season. Again, talking to Mike Shaw of both the Culver's Isthmus Bowl and the Cousin Stubbs Lakefront Bowl. Mike, we've talked a bit about those parts of it. We haven't really talked about the football part of it in terms of the conferences that are brought into these games. And obviously, I've been associated mm-hmm. with the WIAC since my first game I ever got to call in 2003. So if you think back to, you know, black and white horse-drawn buggies, that's when I started broadcasting. But that's that's when I started all the way back at 03 calling games and in the WIAC. And so you bring in one of the premier college football conferences and then neighboring with the CCIW for one, and then partnering two more conferences in the Lakefront Bowl that have very strong Wisconsin and Midwestern connections. It's really neat to see these opportunities like that exist like right here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I played basketball in the WIC, so I'm very familiar with the league. And as you know, it's a dogfight. I mean, I think the top six teams, I think every game but two went down to a touchdown or less. So it was really good competition. And then the CCIW is a good league as well. You know, a little bit more top heavy than the WIC is, but at the same time, teams that can really compete. I mean, we saw Wheaton College this year. They were a very, very quality football team. And, you know, you're on the D3 top 25 voter group. And, you know, looking at how good Wheaton is, you have to be surprised that they didn't even get into the NCAA tournament. It just shows you how, you know, good teams even get left out of the NCAA tournament, even when there's 40 teams, even when it expands. So that's one of the reasons why I love the bowl game, is because you give other teams opportunity to play one more time and, you know, gives them a chance to go out on top, you know, rather than losing. And then the Lakefront Bowl, you know, that's the Midwest Conference and the NAC, the Northern Athletics Collegiate Conference. And that's just been a tremendous matchup, especially the last 2 years. I mean, both games went down to the last couple of plays the last 2 years. It was the same two schools, Monmouth College and St. Norbert. But I think those conferences match up in the Lakefront Bowl than they would in the national tournament, because what would end up happening is you'd probably play like a North Central or a really good WIAC school in the first round. So that's one of the reasons why I love the Lakefront Bowl, because it's just a quality game.
It is, and that's been the fun thing about seeing the matchups. Mike, you have time to stick around a couple minutes here? I got a couple more questions.
I do.
Perfect. I do. Mike Shaw is the director of the Division III Midwest Bowl Series. College football bowl games right here in Wisconsin. We got a little more sports coming up for you here in just a second. You are listening to the Dom Salvia Show here on Civic Media.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about why, if you've got savings, you need a high-yield savings account. High yield just means high interest, you know, the money the bank pays you for keeping your money with them. You will probably find the highest yield savings accounts at an online bank. Just go on and Google and do some research and figure out who's offering the highest rates right now. Now, lately, it's been between 4 and 5%. That is your savings earning real interest. And okay, figuring out all the details of opening a new bank account can be very annoying, but I bet you can probably get one going in less than an hour. So give yourself 60 minutes and get it done. I've done it. You'll thank yourself when you see your money making money for doing nothing. For more everyday money help, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
If you're looking to win some cold, hard cash, the word to enter this hour for a shot at $100 is ELF, E-L-F. You had entered that in on our app, civicmedia.us/app, to download it on your device. Find your station to enter it in on and get that thing entered in there. ELF, E-L-F is the word. And of course, if you enter, you're entered in for one of those 8 grand prizes. You happen to be the espresso machine winner.
Jimmy might hunt you down.
CC, just forward it right here to the Civic Media Sports Department. Zip code 53805. Get it over here. Because that would be pretty sweet. I have a thing that makes tea in my office, but I don't have a espresso
teapot.
I guess it's metal and it heats up right away. So I don't know.
Okay.
It was like $8 in a. Probably an Aldi aisle or something. I don't know. Oh,
those Aldi aisles are so dangerous.
Oh, I know. Oh, I could just sit in there. I think that's like half of our house. That and IKEA are just really dangerous places to go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're talking football. We're talking about college football specifically and about college football bowl season. We're not previewing all these Division I bowl games, which there are about 170 of. We're talking about Division III, where we have seen, I want to say explosion, but we've seen increasing popularity in postseason events in Division III, which covers a lot of the schools right here in Wisconsin. And once again, rejoining me is Mike Shaw, who is the director for two of the two bowl games that are held here in Wisconsin. And Mike, we had talked a bit about the teams, some of the sponsorships, how this all kind of came about. But I want to bring it back to what I think makes Division III football and high school football and really football in general, I think, so important to me and why I personally spend so much time in the sport is the aspect of community. And it is impressive when I've been to the games to see how many people volunteer, how many organizations are there in support of the bowl games. I am really impressed by the tie-ins to the community with both of these bowl games. Can you talk a little bit about just, you know, that involvement with Sun Prairie, with the Lakefront host, just that tie into the communities that you're holding these games in?
Yeah, absolutely. I originally hosted the first bowl game, as you know, the Isthmus Bowl, the first one in 2021 was in Verona. And actually somebody from the Sun Prairie Tourism Commission Chamber of Commerce was there And, you know, I got an email about 2 weeks later to move it to the Bank of Sun Prairie Stadium, and which you followed up with me and said it's an incredible field. You know, I had grown up with Sun Prairie, you know, only Sun Prairie having one high school. Mm-hmm. And then I had learned that Sun Prairie was moving to two high schools, and they built this incredible stadium. So as soon as I went to tour it, I said, I think I'm going to keep the bowl game here for the foreseeable future. And then the community started getting involved, Sun Prairie Tourism Commission, Chamber of Commerce, and they've just been incredibly welcoming, great community to have it. And one of the cool things about the bowl game is there's been some Sun Prairie student athletes that have played in the actual bowl game because they went to the schools that have participated in the game. So it's a really fast growing community too. You know, growing up in Madison as a kid, I never knew that Sun Prairie would get this big. So it's a really big community. And then Wisconsin Lutheran College was the first one to raise their hand for the Lakefront Bowl. And geographically, it's probably the best location amongst the two conferences, believe it or not. So that, and then Wisconsin Lutheran College, they love hosting it. And, you know, they only charged me $1,000, so I can't beat that. So I really like the community aspect, especially in Sun Prairie. They just have been incredibly welcoming.
Well, that host fee would cover, you know, one broadcaster too. So no, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I get the free, you give me the stack of free Culvers, and that's gold to me. Mike, yeah. Just a final thought on this, because we're going to wrap up the hour. I wanted to ask just quickly about where people can learn more about the two bowl games that are held here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you can, I mean, the simplest way is just go to www.isthmusbowl.com or www.lakefrontbowl.com. And then there is an info that you can click to learn more information. That email actually goes directly to me. I respond to every email inquiry that I get. People probably wonder who's the one responding, but it's actually me. I get quite a few inquiries of fans and people, you know, looking for more information. So if anybody's looking for it, they're more than welcome to. Next year's bowl games are Saturday, November 22nd, 2025. And we'll be doing an 11 a.m. kickoff for the Lakefront Bowl again and a 2 p.m. kickoff for the Isthmus Bowl. So same as this year.
And I'll be there at the Isthmus Bowl. Mike, I really appreciate having a chance to talk to you on the radio about all this after hanging out with you in Sun Prairie last month with the Isthmus Bowl. Thank you for your time. And it's great to learn about having college football bowl games here in Wisconsin. First time we've ever had it. A lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good rest of your day.
Mike Shaw, the director of the Division III Midwest Bowl Series. Jess, I don't know if you knew that we had college football bowl games in Wisconsin.
I did not.
But it is amazing that we do. And they're pretty fun. You get Culvers and Cousin Subs as sponsors. That's pretty
awesome.
Don't
you have... Okay, so I'm going to show my ignorance here. We've got the Rose Bowl. That's different. That's something else.
That's Division One. That's the
Division
Badgers.
One. Okay.
Big colleges. Division Three. There's no scholarships. Everybody just plays. There's no scholarship. Student athlete, but you're a student athlete.
Student athlete.
Yeah. There's no scholarship. You're there to. You're there for school.
I see. Okay. Okay. Well, that's very interesting for me to learn. And I love that it's sponsored by Culver's. At least one of them.
It is so cool. It's sponsored by Culver.
That's
having
so Wisconsin.
It's funny, though, because I'll see Craig Culver and just I'll see him and he knows me by name.
Oh, my
like,
God.
That's crazy. You're like a celebrity.
Do you get free custard when you go in now?
What's that?
Do you get free custard if you go in, or only if he's working one of his shifts?
I was at Culver's last night. I didn't get free custard. Mm. But, you know, I'm happy to support the communities that they have Culver's in.
Always.
So, there you go. All right. Last chance at your keyword here for the $100 in cash. The keyword is ELF, E-L-F. Get on the Civic Media app, find your station. Get that word in E-L-F is the keyword.
Get your elf off the shelf and into our text line.
That's awesome. That's way better than me. Oh, that's way better. We have a great 5 o'clock hour coming up for you. Gas buddy guy Patrick DeHaan joins us after the top of the hour news. Later on in the hour, we'll talk about getting on the ballot for school board or local office. That's coming your way next on the Dom Salvia Show here on Civic Media.
The Tap. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Terry Barr from Civic Media. She is the genie of just about everything will be joining us. We'll talk to the Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County about their latest adoption event. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. There's been another school shooting, this time in Madison, Wisconsin. A teacher and student are dead, along with the suspect.
We know that the suspect shooter was a teenage student who attended the school.
Six others were injured, two have life-threatening injuries. The White House said a short time ago none of the drone sightings to date has been a safety threat. Donald Trump questioned why the administration hasn't been more forthcoming.
And for some reason, they don't want to comment. And I think they'd be better off saying what it is. Our military knows and our president knows. And for some reason, they want to keep people in suspense.
Luigi Mangione could be back in New York very soon to face charges in the killing of the United Healthcare CEO, CBS's Anna Schechter.
Already, he's been charged with second-degree murder, but we're told that we could expect to see a first-degree murder charge come down based on all the evidence.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.